And we turn to that famous story in 1 Kings 18. But the verse I particularly would like you to come away you in your mind is verse 21. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. All the years from the beginning of time till the Lord returns will be characterized by this thing, that many who might have an inkling to believe in the Lord, as well as those who don't, will halt between two opinions. Now, the modern word halt means stop. The ancient use of the word was to limp. But whether we limp between two opinions or stop between two opinions, the net result is the same. But limping does imply the difficulty of making any progress without a firm decision. Now, as you know, at the time that Elijah lived, and he wasn't yet told, but there would be 7,000 who didn't bow the knee to Baal, but he didn't think there were that number. And we should ask, I suppose, well, where was their witness? But it was the days of Ahab and his wife, Jezebel. She came from a Baal-worshipping country, and she introduced Baal worship to the land. And Ahab deserted God in order to worship those gods that Jezebel introduced. And so it was that a famine was brought about on the land. Chapter 17, Elijah appears on the stage of history, fully grown, fully mature, without any knowledge as to his background, except that he was a Tishbite. And he just appears and he confronts the king. And he says that there'll be a famine till God reveals it to Elijah to make it known that the famine is lifted. 3 years later, the Lord made it known that the famine would be lifted. And we get to this stage. We see the amounts of the trouble that Jezebel caused. We read earlier in the chapter that you can have a look that that she slayed all the prophets of God. And there were in those days many, many prophets of God. I expect they had a university like they did in the time of Elisha too afterwards. But 100 were hidden by Obadiah, who was one of the next chief servant of Ahab. If there were 100 hidden there, I wonder how many were killed. And so Elijah sends, and Ahab comes to meet him. And in his curt and bad way, he says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And Elijah answers, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Forsaking the commandments of the Lord is bad enough, but seeing that human nature must worship something, those who forsake the commandments of the Lord turn to some sort of false gods, almost inevitably. And so Elijah, speaking with the authority of God, commands Ahab. And he says, "Gather to me all the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the groves, all of whom eat at Jezebel's table." Look, but she supports them. She keeps them going. And Ahab did that. And he also gathered the whole nation to Mount Carmel. as Elijah has specified. And the scene opens with this whole crowd. Now, I don't know how I can express the emotion to you. 850 prophets, 400 of them 450 of Baal and 400 of the groves. And then all the people of Israel, very few of whom have been worshipping the Lord. There were 7,000, Elijah was told, had not bowed the knee to Baal. Whether any of those were present at this, we don't know. But the crowd were gathered on the one side, and Ahab, and the priests of the living God. There weren't any. Just Elijah, the prophet. And so Elijah begins his address to the gathered people, the false prophets, and the ordinary people, and the king. He begins by saying, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" I've often wondered, as I often do with various texts, how this was said. I get the idea that because of the emotion that followed, Elijah was full of the anger of the Lord, as if he spoke it, saying, "How long? How long shall ye halt between two opinions? It's disgraceful to do it. It's disgusting to do it. It's an insult to the Lord." I think there was something of that about it. But it wasn't just a sort of intellectual question, a rhetorical question. How long halt ye between two opinions? Now, the New Testament tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is, if he has two interests, one will fight against the other, and he'll never know what to do. I've told you before that one of the objections that I rue as I look back on my grammar school life, one of the objections to grammar school, perhaps all of them now, but it was that they wanted to interest you in so many things. There was a club for this and a club for that and a club for this. But the things that you wanted to do clashed. Or the sports they wanted you to do, I remember with our sons. They were good at basketball and they were good at soccer. But what do you do when the final for which your team has worked all the season, two terms, and they're on the same day at the same time? There's a clash. Who do you go for? Who do you support? Who do you let down? And whatever it is in life that we can't or don't make up our mind about means that we will vacillate and not make any progress. But of course, the most important thing of all is in the matter of faith in the living God, faith in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the forgiveness of sins through the shedding of his blood on Calvary. And the people go through the whole of life without ever resolving this issue. And it is an urgent one. And it's always there. It's been here in every generation. It is something that characterizes human nature. How long do you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, he says to him, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people had been following Baal instead of the God that they were supposed to follow. So deep down in their hearts, every one of them not only was touched, but felt guilty. And that's the reason. And this is fraught with emotion, this whole scene. And if we don't understand that, we don't really enter into it. If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. It was sullen. They were sullen. They were against Elijah. They had been worshipping Baal. And they didn't want to be proved wrong. They knew that they ought to follow God when he raised the question like that. But as it stood now, they had no intention of doing that. The people answered him, not a word. That's hostility. Perhaps he would rather have had the word of heckling. But the sullen ignorance of the people refusing to go along with him, that was a terrible thing. Then Elijah said to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them bring one, two bullocks, one for me and one for them. Let them do all the necessary things, cut it in pieces, prepare it for sacrifice. Put it on the wood, but don't set it on fire. And I will do the same. And call ye on the name of our gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Now the people begin to be more interested. Instead of sullenly answering not a word, the people answered and said, it is well spoken. I think they thought that because Elijah had put away from him his own participation, that it wasn't something he was going to do, that he made it in such a way that it was not something he was going to declare, but that it was completely fair. It could be seen from this, whether Baal were gods or whether the living God was gods. So they said, it is well spoken. And you know what happened. They took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. Talk about use not vain repetitions. They called from morning till noon, and the only words we're told, they said, was, O Baal, hear us. Can you imagine that for a prayer? O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, hear us. O Baal. No wonder the Lord says about vain repetitions. But he didn't hear. There is no such thing as Baal. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And then, as men do who worship false religions and offer, they leaped upon the altar. They tried to do what man could do. They cut themselves with their lances till the blood gushed out of them. And of course, some false religions have human sacrifice. And some do things that are unspeakable. Always the case. Because the Lord God stands for holy worship, holy behavior. And then Elijah, see, it's all emotion, this story. Elijah then mocks them out loud in front of everybody else. The people whom the crowd had supported. Cry aloud, keep going. Cry louder. He's a God, isn't he? Perhaps he's talking. Doesn't want to be disturbed in conversation. Well, make a noise, said he's got to break off the conversation and talk to you. Perhaps he's pursuing, perhaps he's out hunting somewhere. Well, you've got to call him back somehow, you've got to make yourself known. Perhaps he's on a journey and doesn't really want to come back in any way to anything. Perhaps he's asleep and your words have got to wake him up. And they got more and more intense, and it looks as if it went on till for another hour or two or three after midday. There was no voice. There was no to answer. There was none that regarded. That's in verse 29. No voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. people who deny the Lord Jesus Christ all their life long will find as they grow weaker and their body begins to disintegrate and the time for death is approaching, there'll be no voice, none to answer, nor any that regard. Now Elijah says, come near to me. Now everybody's going to move, you see. Come on, gather around all of you. Come near to me. And he repaired the altar that was broken down, that hadn't been worshipped at. He took 12 stones, one to represent each tribe, to make an altar of it. He built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar. And he put wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, all himself, it was him. Laid him on the wood. I mean, the bullock's a weight, isn't it? It says, fill 4 barrels with water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. I wonder what people were thinking. There was a dreadful water shortage. People were going, sure, there hadn't been any rain for 3 months, for years. And then all this water he was having poured. And he made them go and get it. Then he says, do it again and again, 3 times. Then he filled the trench with water too. If in the days of the old railways, if you had a steam engine, it was a common sight, if you watched an express train go by, to see the fireman hosing down the water in the tender. Because when you shovel a shovel load of coal onto a fire, it burns more intensity. But that's different from putting the fire out, isn't it? You're adding to the fire wet coals, not putting it out at all. And it will burn more fiercely. But this was to quench the fire. And it came to pass that Elijah prayed. He said, fill it with water. Fill it with water. But of course he didn't set fire to it, did he? And he prayed that God would reveal himself. And the fire of the Lord fell. Now, when we think of conversions, it's nothing that we can do. The Lord has to do it. The Lord only can change lives. The Lord only can make people turn to him and love him and set their hearts upon him. It has to come from him. It isn't in our control. It wasn't in Elijah's control, but he knew his God. And when the people saw the fire fall from heaven, they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. If you were to read the last chapter of Joshua at some point, you would see that Joshua says to the people there that they must make up their minds that day who they were going to serve. But as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. You see, it's still the same problem all those years beforehand. They didn't want to worship the Lord. He has to say to them, make up your minds. And we're still calling out to people in the gospel, make up your minds. And if you won't make up your mind, it'll go by default. And then something follows. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They were committed. And as a result of this particular incident as well, the people became committed. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. But for many of them, it was only skin deep, because you find not very much longer after that they're back at their Baal worship again. Skin deep. And that brings up the third thing that is common to this. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye serve, but as for me, I will serve the Lord. And then when they said, we will serve the Lord, we will serve the Lord, he said, you can't. And he kept pressing them. And they said, we will. He says, you can't. Because he was seeking to make sure they meant what they said. And it's what's happening here. They said it because they saw that. But it wasn't going to be lasting very long. Their commitment to the Lord, he is God, only being skin deep, didn't last very long. If you believe in the Lord, then you have to come into the open about your opinion. In order to accomplish this, the Lord, knowing that this is so relevant, he gave us baptism. Baptism is the way that a believer can show that the thing is no longer secret in his own mind. He's not word only when he's explained to others, become a believer, but he obeys the Lord and is baptized. But if we are no longer going to drift between two opinions, our commitment has to be shown publicly. Joshua showed it. The people showed it here. But in neither of those cases was it genuine. The showing of it publicly goes a long way to making it genuine, but it doesn't actually make it genuine. So how long? How long will we halt between two opinions? I told you that when I was converted, I'd been to church on six occasions. It was 6 weeks that I halted once I'd heard the gospel before I became a convinced Christian. And by the fourth week, I was thinking I'd better get on with it because I wasn't making any move. How long? If you are 40 and you're not yet a Christian, what evidence have you got that when you're double that at 80 that you'll be a Christian then? What proof have you got that in the second half of your life you'll do what you didn't do in the first? How long? Now is the day of salvation, says the Bible. Now is the time for commitment. Now is the time to spend your life in his service. How long will ye halt between two opinions? The people answered not a word, not at that stage. Pray that your response, my response, may be that we will love the Saviour and follow him in all his ways, as long as we live. May the Lord help us. Amen.